Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Our Lord answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom the Father hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, and it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And our Lord said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you have also seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Our most blessed Father and our great God, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, He who loved us with an everlasting love, we come, Lord, with our hearts full of peace given by you, assurance that only you can give, even though at times we're like David, if we say our sins are ever before us, that yet, Lord Jesus, we also read, will you put away all of our sins once in the end of the world, that you, Lord God, said that you'd never remember our sins against us again. So, Lord, we believe you. We believe you. We find comfort and assurance in that. And, Father, we ask for your presence, the power of God to come into this service today. The Spirit of God. The presence of God. For if he's here in power. Something will be done. Something will be accomplished. Let us not become mechanical and rote in our worship and the things that we do. Help us, Lord Jesus, to do what we do out of love and out of zeal and out of thankfulness and gratefulness and joy and all that we, that our worship is so blessed of you and so grateful for it. And our Master, we pray now for Lance and Robin and their dear daughter. God, have mercy on them. Have mercy upon her. If it would please you to raise her back up, let her become well. Let her become whole. Lord, we give you the praise and thanks for it. And yet if you don't, I know Lance and Robin will still kiss the hand of your providence. And Lord Jesus, we pray for Larry and Lola. God, help them. Lord, be their strength, be their encouragement. Uphold them by your blessed power. Your grace is sufficient. Pray for Dee Dee, her family. Thank you for them. And Lord Jesus, if there's any we forgot, please forgive us. Shelby, we pray for Shelby. God bless her. Oh, Lord, we know that life is so empty for her now in so many ways. Still a shock to her every day. God bless her. Lord, comfort her. Be her strength. And Father, please, again, meet with us. Receive all of our prayers, our thanksgiving, and our praise for Christ's sake. Amen. Let me encourage those of you that's not been to service yet to come on out. Wear a mask if you want to. Some of them are, some of them ain't. But you need to come back to the services. You need to be here worshiping the Lord. So come back out. All right, you girls ready? To learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope I have some things to say about Him today. If you'll look back with me in John chapter 6. I'm going to preach from here again next week. But when they said in verse 28, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Our Lord answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom God hath sent." Now our Lord Jesus Christ, He's the source of life. He's the source of life. I mean, even natural life. All life. He's the source of it. It's by Him we live, move, and have our being. I mean, everything comes from Him. But then you talk about spiritual life. Life from the dead. Life from the death of trespasses and sins and darkness and depravity and wretchedness. He's the only one that can give that. He's the source of our spiritual life, of eternal life. As the Father raises the dead, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. That's what He said. And in John chapter 5, you remember when He walked among all those impotent people at the pool of Bethesda. People everywhere. And our Lord stopped at one man and looked at him. This was His day. And that's the way He does. He comes among men. All of them are impotent. Everybody's impotent. Nobody has any power. No one can't do anything for themselves. But our Lord looked at one and said, "It's you. You get up. You get up." And they got upset because of that. And here, our Lord Jesus had just fed 5,000 people. You remember, that's what He said here. He said, with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, He fed 5,000 people. Got 12 baskets up. And then our Lord went across that night, across the sea, and come walking to them on the sea, and ended up over in Capernaum. Well, these folks come running to him and tried to figure out how he got over there. And our Lord, look what it says, verse 26. They said, "How did you get over here?" In verse 25. He said, I'm telling you that you don't seek me. You seek me, but not because you saw the miracles. Oh, the miracles never impressed you one iota. Didn't impress you a bit. But because we did eat of the loaves. That's the thing. After He had performed that miracle of feeding the 5,000and opened the door for Him, everything our Lord did opened the door for Him to say something and to teach people and to tell them the truth about themselves and about Himself. And so I'll tell you something, and I've said this so many times before. If miracles could save people, they would have saved everybody in the New Testament. They would have saved all of Israel when they saw the Red Sea open. When they saw the Red Sea open, everybody in Israel ought to have been saved just over that one miracle. But they wasn't. 3 days in the wilderness, they went to murmuring and complaining. So miracles is not the answer. That's not the answer. Our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Well, so I'll tell you what. It made the way for Him to bring His message about being the true bread of life. Real bread. Now let's start again here now. The question. Let's look here at a question of the legalist, the self-righteous heart. And our Lord said, you know, labor not for the meat that just endureth for a little while, but the meat which lasteth unto everlasting life. And all then they said unto him, well, what are we going to do? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? That's the first thing a natural man will ask. What can I do? What do I need to do? What shall we do? That's the first thing a legalist, a self-righteous man, a lost man will ask about. What they're asking is, are we wrong? We're on the wrong road. We know we need to do a work. We know we need to do something for God. We know we need to be busy for God. But what it is that we actually know need to do, we don't know. I tell you, we don't know what we are supposed to do. And I tell you, everybody's looking for a work to do. And preachers are giving them a work to do. They make faith to be a work. They make repentance to be a work. They make everything to be a work. But I tell you, the self-righteous is always, here's the thing about them, they're always occupied with themselves, with his own doings. You know, when our Lord Jesus Christ, one fellow said, I'll follow you, but let me first go bury my dead father. It's always me first, me first, me first. And that's what he's always occupied with self, with his own doings. And you know what happens when we're occupied with ourselves? We go down. You get occupied with him, and you're up. It's like a seesaw, you know. When you're down like this here, you're looking up the other fella. When you're down like this, you're looking up this way. But I tell you what, always stay down here and let him be always up there. And I tell you, that's the way it is. But self-righteous is always interested in himself and what he's doing. And the carnal mind, the fleshly mind's flattered when somebody gives it something to do. Oh, and then especially give them something to do for God. Give them something to do for God, and they're just as happy as if they had good sense. They also, you know how many times have you heard over the years, used to say it all the time, get off the stool and do nothing. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell you something. I can't do nothing if Christ don't do it for me. I don't know what they mean, get off the stool and do nothing. I guess that means get off stool and do nothing. Go do something for God. Go knock on doors. Go pass out tracts. Go witness to people. A sign said, "Give grace is a gift. Give it out." Well, I tell you, the only person can give grace is God can give grace. I can't give you grace. I can't give you grace because I've only got enough for me. That's what the Catholics think. They think, you know, that's why they have so many saints. You know that? They said, Aquinas said this. He said, you know, those people that's got enough grace that they can share their grace with somebody else. And that's end up how they're having saints. That fellow's got enough grace, so you pray to him, you pray to her, you pray to this other one, St. Patrick, say something. Everybody's a saint. And you pray to them, get some grace from them. But I tell you what, I can't give you grace. I can't even share the grace I got with you. Now, ain't that right? I'll tell you, that's what I'm telling you. People say, they even give you something to do. God answers an email. He won't hear you unless you're on your knees. My Lord Jesus Christ, you find him standing and praying oftentimes. And I tell you, he wants to put God, what he wants to do, he wants to put God in debt. Give us a work to do, and then God will owe us. And I tell you, that's to rob God of his glory. I tell you it is. What shall we do? What work shall we do? How could they ask such a question after what he had told them in verse 27? They had seen the miracles. They ate of the bread and the fish. He said, labor not, work not for the meat which perisheth, but that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Listen to this now. Which the Son of Man shall give unto you. He just got through telling them, said, I give it to you. For him hath God the Father sealed. They turn around and says, well, what work are we going to do? What work are we going to do? Oh my, the carnal mind is enmity against God. I tell you something, the carnal mind, self-righteous mind cannot rise, their mind cannot rise to the thought and the idea that everything has to be a gift. They can't get there. They can't get there. Huh? It can't rise to the thought of a gift. Do anything besides becoming a beggar. Anything besides becoming a pauper. Anything besides getting everything for nothing. You know, people say, I'm not a charity case. I don't want nobody to do nothing for me. I'll tell you what, I'm a charity case. I'm a genuine charity case. I'll tell you what, look at these hands. They ain't got nothing that they can give to God. I tell you what I have to do. I have to stick them out there and say, Lord, I ain't got anything. If you don't give it, I won't have it. I stood yesterday thinking that I ain't nothing. I don't care if it's a material possession I have. I don't care what it is. If it's a material possession, if it's something that the house that I live in, the garden, everything that's in that house, everything that I've got, I cannot say that I did it by myself. I can't say that. God did that for me. God did that for me. And I'm not going to take credit for anything I have in this life. I'm not going to take credit for a wife. I'm not going to take credit for a bed. I'm not going to take credit for anything that's ever been done. If I have the ability to do something in this world, pick up a stick or do anything, I'm going to give God the glory for it, because I know that if He don't do it, I won't be able to do anything. You know how many people can't do nothing? And I'm certainly not going to stand back and brag and say, look at all this wonderful stuff that I've accomplished. That's what the world does. We stand back and say, look what God's accomplished. Look what God's did. Done. But oh my. The sinner always wants to earn it. He always wants to earn it. The woman at the well, she said, our Lord said, if you knew the gift of God, the first thing she started talking about was, in this mountain, our Father said you ought to worship. She started talking about where she's supposed to go to worship. Huh? That rich young ruler come running to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he even kneeled down. And he said, good master, what good thing shall I do? The first, what good thing should I do? The Jews on the day of Pentecost said, what shall we do, sirs? The Philippian jailer, the first thing out of his mouth was, what shall I do? The prodigal, when he went home, he didn't want to go back as a son. He said, Father, make me as a hired servant. Make me as a hired servant. God and man are always the same. God gives, man wants to earn. Huh? And here's what our Lord answered him. Here's what he said to him now. Verse 29. He said, unto them, you want to know what a work is? What work to do? This is the work of God. This is what God does. This work of God. And what, listen what it is, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. This is the work of God. This is what He requires, that you believe. Not just believe, but believe on Him. Not only believe on Him, but believe on Him whom God has sent. Now let me tell you something. This shuts him up to the fact that faith, if you get it, somebody's got to give it to you. Because they don't have it. They can do a work, but they can't believe. They don't believe. And that's what you got to do. You got to believe. He's telling them not the works of the law, not the bringing of an offering, but faith in His blessed Son, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul said. He said, when that Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do?" Paul says, and this is the final answer. This is the final answer. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He said, "Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, sovereign Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus, the man who came into this earth. Christ, the anointed one, sent down from God." And I tell you what, and that's what it is. Men would rather do than believe. Why? He can boast. He can brag. He can flip his galluses. Can make him proud. Give him something to boast about. Yet Christ said, "This is God's work. Not your work." You want to do God's work? You want to do God's work? This is what God's work is, that you believe. Where in my world am I going to get faith? People say, "Well, you're born with it, and all you got to do is exercise it." I remember when I didn't have it. I remember very well when I didn't have it. Oh, what was his name? David Brainerd said one of the things that made him so angry with God was, he believed in his sovereignty. And he worked and worked and preached and prayed and oh, he done all kinds of things. But he said, "I was shut up to the fact that I could not do anything. And then I got mad at God because I didn't have the faith that he required me to have." And then he found out, he said, "Well, where in the world am I going to get it at?" He found out God humbled him down and he said, "God gave it to me." You try to believe without God giving you faith. You ain't got no faith to exercise till God gives it to you. Now you can exercise your muscles, you can exercise your body, you can even exercise your brain. But you can't exercise faith without it. Without Him giving it to you, can you? And you know, here's the thing about it. Faith responds to what's going on in the hearing of the gospel. Faith responds to God. Faith responds to Christ. Faith responds to life. And everybody in this building today is responding. When you're out working, doing whatever you do, and you're thinking about God and Christ and the Scriptures, your faith responds to what God's working in you at any given time. Is that not right? And oh, I tell you, man would rather do anything as ask God for faith or anything else. And here's the second question. So they were self-righteous. Here's the second question. Look in verse 30. "Then they said unto him," after he just got through telling them that faith, that you got to, that he gives you everlasting life. The work is that you believe on him whom he said. Then the next thing they said was this: "Well, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thou? What doest thou work?" Well, since we ain't got no faith, well, give us something to believe in. Let us see some kind of a, let us see a miracle. Let us see something. Let us see a sign. Our Lord just told them to believe, and they turned around and said, "Show us a sign. We'll believe you if we have some evidence. If we have some evidence. If you'll do us a sign, give us a sign." Man always reverses God's order. God says, "Believe, and then you'll see." Man says, I'll see when I believe. Look in John 11:40. You know... You know when the first sign was ever given? The first sign ever given in the Bible. And that's why the Jews require a sign. The first sign was God told Moses when he had that rod to throw it down and it became a serpent. And he said, "Now pick it up," and it became a rod again. He said, "Stick your arm, your hand, in your bosom." And he took it out in his leprosy, stuck it back in to come out clean. And the Jews has required a sign ever since. Ever since. But look what he said, our Lord told. Now, our Lord's talking to Martha. He's fixing to raise Lazarus from the dead. And Martha said, "Oh Lord, don't do this. He stinks. He's been dead 4 days." Our Lord said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou would believe that thou should see the glory of God?" Man wants to see before he'll believe. God says you got to see before you can believe. Who you got to see? You got to see Christ. Huh? And I tell you what. What work are you going to do? That's what they're saying. What work are you going to do? If you want us to believe that you're a son of God, where is your credentials? Where is your credentials? Show us a sign. Show us a sign. Huh? And oh my. This is the morning after he had fed 5,000 of them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They saw that. That's an incredible sign. They have seen and enjoyed the fruits of this miracle. Now they want a sign. Give us a proof. Give us some evidence. Do some kind of miraculous work. Give us a sign right now. Give us a sign. And this, look what they done. Look what they done. They started talking about Moses. Started talking about the fathers. Everybody wants what? Oh, if it's good enough for Granny, it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. You know, good enough for Granny. It's good enough for me. And that's what they're saying here. Oh, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. And oh my, you think they ain't serious now? And they said they even quoted the Bible. It is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. I tell you, what proof have you got that you're greater than Moses? Moses, I tell you what, they was out in the desert and Moses gave them five, you know, he fed them manna from heaven. And all you fed is 5,000. He fed a couple million of Jews for 40 years. There's two things I want you to look at here. First of all, they look back to the fathers. Look back to the fathers. That's what the woman at the well said. Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well? That's what the first thing. Are you greater than our father Jacob? Are you greater than Moses? Are you greater than our fathers? Are you greater than Abraham? You greater than Isaac? You greater than Jacob? That's what they're saying. And that's what people do. They want the experiences of the fathers. If it's good enough for my father, it's good enough for me. Well, maybe your father, you know, maybe your father's had some kind of experience and he yet don't know Christ. I know if I did what my father did, I would have been in hell already, I guess, if God hadn't had mercy on me. Huh? Oh, look, the experiences of the fathers, what they believed, what they taught. And that's sufficient for most. You know how many church fights there's been because of somebody helped build a building or helped put a, you know, and my great-granddaddy helped build this building. My daddy helped build this building. They get all involved in all the things that their mothers and daddies done and all that, and they keep looking back and keep looking back. But I'll tell you one thing, when God reveals the gospel of the grace of God to you and makes Christ known to you, it don't matter what your father believed, your mother believed, your grandma believed, or your grandpa believed, it don't matter anything. The only thing that matters to you is, do I believe? You got to come to that conclusion. This is God's got to do a work for me. My grandmother's gone, been gone for decades after decades after decades. Why do I want to look back to what she done? And that's what people do. And I tell you, this happened so many times years ago. If what you're saying is true, I'm lost, my daddy's lost, and my mother's lost. Are you saying I'm lost? You know, because what it does, they're just looking just like Christ, these people did to Christ. What work should we do? What sign are you going to show us? Oh my. And they said, as it is written, they believe what is said about Moses and miss Christ, miss the glory of Christ. And you know the only time the Jews or Israel called it bread was back in Exodus when they said they loathed this light bread. They loathed it. And manna, what it means is, what is this? What is this? Well, look what our master said to them about them. Then our Lord said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses didn't give you that bread. Moses don't have power to bring things down from heaven. He don't have the, he can't cause bread to fall from heaven. He can't do that. No, no, Moses didn't give you that bread from heaven. He didn't do it. And that's all you got to say. What did Daddy do? What did Mama do? And that's what he said. He said, I say unto you. You think Moses is something? If you believe Moses, you'd believe me. Moses wrote about me. Moses didn't give you that bread. And our Lord could have walked away and said, I ain't fooling with you all. I've told you and told you and told you. He could have walked away and left them in that wretched, wretched state, right then and there. Oh my. But instead, look what he says. But my Father, giveth you. And this, listen to this, giveth you the true bread. And where's this bread come from? Just like the rest of it did. From heaven. But he turns around and tells him of the blessed gift of God Himself. The only one who could meet the sinful, deep need, the deep need of sinful man. They thought Moses gave them that bread. But it was God who gave him that bread. Men would rather look at the man and what he accomplishes other than God and what he's done. They looked at Moses and missed Christ. And Christ told them time and again, as Moses lifted up. As Moses, they looked to Moses. You know, in John 9, that man, when our Lord opened that man that was born blind, eyes blind, you know what he said? He kept asking him, who opened him? He said, I've told you. Would you be his disciples? You know what they said? You may be his disciples and others, but we're Moses' disciples. And there's still a lot of Moses' disciples around. What does that mean? People that's going to live under the law. People that's going to go to the law. People that's going to go to the Ten Commandments as a rule of life. But you cannot find anybody, any place in the Bible where the law is given us to be a rule of life. You know what the law was given? To make sin exceeding sinful. By the law is the knowledge of sin. When it says love God, now listen, let me ask you, How much have you loved God? Was you born loving Him? That shows me the exceeding sinfulness of the wickedness of my heart that I cannot in my own self love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. When the Scriptures tell man's a lover of his own self, how in the world am I going to love somebody better than me? That shows the exceeding sinfulness of my selfish heart. So you go on and on and on and on, and I tell you, that's what the law does. It comes and it makes us know how far away from God we really are. And oh my, you think If God let us know just half, just a little more than what He already lets us know about how sinful we are, we couldn't bear it. We couldn't bear it. What I know is bad enough. What I know is bad enough. Go, God, don't let me know anymore. It makes me know I know enough about my own sinfulness and human race sinfulness that I look forward to the day when I'm done with it. Oh. And I tell you what, they look to that instrument. Rest on what man's done, but it's the Father who gives. It's the Father who provides. My Father gives you that true bread from heaven. You know all that preachers is? All that preachers is seed sowers and water boys. Somebody comes along and sows, somebody else comes along and waters. But you know what He said? But He said it's God that gives the increase. If that seed that's been sown and that seed that's been watered, unless God causes it to bring forth fruit, it'll lay in the ground. Ain't that right? Huh? And look what He says then in verse 33. For the bread of God, oh my, God's bread. God's bread, John 6. From God's bread, which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Oh my. This is God's bread. That's what the first thing He said, the bread of God. This is God's bread. How did it get here? It cometh down. Cometh down. Where did it come from? Come from heaven. Come from heaven. You know, I don't know how many times down through here heaven's mentioned. But look in John 8:23 with me just for a moment. You know, cometh down. That shows our Lord's humiliation. That Christ came down. He came so far down. He left the Father and left His glory, left the obedience of the angels, the worship of angels. Look what our Master said here. And He said unto them, you are from beneath. I'm from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. Two different kinds of beings altogether. You're from down here. I'm from up there. You're from this world. I'm from another world. And oh, He comes down to such humiliation. Comes down to become a man. Comes down to become a servant. Comes down to inhabit flesh. And He came all the way down from heaven. And when we talk about the heavens, we're not talking about where they send them spaceships. We're talking about a place that's so far above us that we don't even know where it's at unless God takes us. And then look what He says. And He came down from heaven. What did He come down to do? Come down this humiliation to do? Give life. Give life. Give life. To give life. Well, I want to work for it. No, I'm not. It's a gift. You can't earn it. It can't be owed to you. And look what else He says. Unto the world. Now what in the world does that mean? The world. The world. You reckon that means everybody in the world that He died for? You reckon that's what it means? Huh? What He's telling is, it's not for just you Jews now. Now it's for Jew and Gentile, bond and free, male and female. It's from people, every class, type, and character under heaven. I'm going to go out after some other. I've got other sheep which are not of this fold. I'm going to bring them. And oh my. The manna couldn't keep them from dying. So it couldn't be that true bread. That's why Christ said, I am the bread of God which cometh down from heaven. And give life unto Israel. And the manna giveth life unto the world. And because that manna, those people died even eating that manna. The manna, secondly, was only for Israel. And he doesn't offer life unto the world. He said he gives life. Life is not an offer to accept or reject. Every place you find Christ talking about life and anything from God, it's always give, give, give. I'm going to make you an offer you just can't refuse. It's too good to be true. Christ didn't do any of that. He never made an offer. He's not an offer to be accepted and rejected. Life is not an offer to be accepted and rejected. And then look what he says. He said, I'm that bread which comes down from heaven. And oh my, he's that true bread. Genuine bread. Satisfying bread. Come from heaven. It's spiritual. Its character is its heavenly nature. It's the bread of God. It's eternal. I'm the bread. I am the bread of life, our Lord said in verse 35. He said, I am the bread of life. I am. That's one of the I ams of Christ. And I tell you, I'm the one who gives nourishment. I'm the one who gives you life. I'm the one who sustains life. And look what they said now in verse 34. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Lord, evermore give us this bread. Oh, they were like the woman at the well. They wanted to have to keep laboring for bread. Not because they saw the glory of Christ. But look what how our Master answered them. But I said unto you, that you've also seen me. You've seen me. Yet you don't believe. You do not believe. Huh? And then he says, but I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. You know, bread is a beautiful, beautiful emblem of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a necessary food. And you know there's so many different types of bread. Cornbread, biscuits, light bread, wheat bread, barley bread. There's so many different kinds of bread. But every time you eat bread, you eat it because you like it, because you need it, and because you want it. Ain't that right? You have some favorite bread that's favored to you. But we eat bread, and I tell you, I like it. The more I like bread. And then it's suited to everybody. And it's something we eat every day. And it satisfies you. This bread satisfies you. And then you know how bread's made? Whether it's made out of corn, barley, wheat, no matter what it's made out of, it has to be crushed. It has to be ground. It has to be pulverized. When I first come to this country, people would raise hickory king corn and raise corn, and they'd take bags full of it to a grinding mill. And they'd have their own cornbread ground down to make cornbread out of it. They'd have it all ground to have their own meal. But they'd put it in a wheel, and it'd go round and around and around and around. And oh, it was just crushed. That stuff, that flour that you get that you could drop and it just gets all over everything, that started out as a piece of grain. Huh? And I tell you, and he spoke of that life unto the world. Now look what he says. He spoke of, you know, come down to give life unto the world. Then he said, he makes it personal. He makes it individual. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never die. Huh? He comes down to personal now. Dad's talking about world, now he's talking about him. He. But oh my. But I said unto you, you see me and you don't believe. Did the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ fail? Did his purpose of coming fail? No, absolutely not. He said, but also you see me and believe not. But now look what he said. You think that's going to bother me, going to really upset me, that you see me and you don't believe, that you ask me what work to do? You think that really, has his incarnation failed? He shall not fail nor be discouraged. The Lord knows them that are his. And I tell you, all, listen to what he says now, all. He went from the world to all. Here's a definite company of people which the Father had given to Christ. He said, all that the Father giveth me. Huh? You know he mentions those given to Christ 7 times in John 17. You see me and believe not. I'm not disheartened. I'm not discouraged. No. And look why he said, because they're going to come to me. You won't, but they will. You don't believe, but they will. Huh? Oh, all that the Father give me shall come to me. And listen to this now. And I will in no wise cast them out. This is not a promise. I won't reject them. If you'll come to Christ, he won't reject you. That's what people say. But it's up to you. Once you get there, stay there. I won't reject. That's not what he's talking about here. It means that under no circumstances, will I ever cast you out. I will never expel you from my presence. If he would expel anybody, he'd expel David. If he'd expel anybody, he'd expel Simon Peter. But oh, listen, let me hurry here and get this thing done. But he said, I came down from heaven. I did. That's how many times we've talked about heaven yet? 3, 4, 5 times already. And then he comes down to again. I came down from heaven. Oh, I came down. Not to do mine own will. I didn't come here to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And you know what the Father's will was? That he gave me a multitude of people. And when they come to me, I'm going to save them. I came down to do the will of him that sent me. That's my will. He said, I come down, not left to man's will to accept me or reject me. I didn't do that. And then look what he says. And this, do you know what the Father's will is, which has sent me? Of all which he hath given me. The one that I won't expel. All that he hath given me. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to lose not one of them. I'm not going to lose one of them. I'm not going to lose one of them. Oh, I'm not going to do it. Now, religion will lose you. Church will lose you. But Christ ain't going to lose you. Oh, my. Not only am I not going to lose them, but when they're in the grave, he said, I'm going to raise them up. It's the last day. I ain't going to lose where their grave is. I'm not going to lose where their dust is. I'm not going to lose where they died at. Whether it's in the ocean, whether it's in the sea, whether it's whatever they are, I know where they are, and I'm going to raise them up at the last day. Huh? And oh, let me end with this right here. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son. He told them, you see me, and yet you don't believe. But those that's given to him, they will see the Son. He that sees the Son. And I tell you what, and here's the order of it. Seeing the Son, then you believe. If you ever see Christ, you'll believe. If you ever see him in his glory, you'll believe. Huh? The order is seeing the Son, then believing on him. And then he says, oh my. And I tell you, when you do that, till you see him, you'll believe him, and you'll have everlasting life. And at the very last day, I'm going to raise him up again. I'm going to raise him up again. Huh? Oh my. What a blessed, blessed Savior we've got. What a wonderful God. What a blessed... Come down from heaven. 5 or 6 times talked about heaven. Lord Jesus, oh, our Father, thank you, bless you, and praise you for allowing us to meet again, to allowing us to meet again this side of eternity, to hear the gospel again, to hear about our blessed Savior. And oh, Father, we know that our gospel, the gospel, will do its work. We know that Christ's work has finished, been accomplished. That all that are eternally predestinated to see the Son and believe on Him, because you gave them to Christ, they'll come to Him. And they'll come because they see Him. And they'll come believing. And Lord, now we cannot not believe. We come again believing. Believing. Looking unto Thy Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, bless His holy name. Thank you, blessed Savior. Oh, thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you for coming and dying for us. Thank you for going to the grave for us. Thank you for coming out of that grave for us. Thank you for going to heaven and sitting at the right hand of God for us. Taking our name, taking our hearts, taking our souls, taking everything about us there with you. We bless you. God bless these dear saints. Remember that dear Claire and Dee Dee and Larry and Lola. Oh, God, have mercy on them for Christ's sake. In His name we pray. Amen. He's the Savior of my soul. Jesus, my Jesus. He's the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior of my soul. 6 o'clock, God will.